Welcome to Windy City Sports Talk, Chicagoland's number one podcast for all the latest news and in-depth analysis for the Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks, Cubs, and White Sox. This podcast features exclusive news and expert analysis from well-known Chicago sports reporters and broadcasters. You will also feel the passion and emotions during conversations with other diehard sports fans. Other unique sports topics such as virtual reality and video games are explored as well. It's now time to talk Windy City Sports. Hello and welcome to Windy City Sports Talk. Today's episode will be focusing on what's next for the Bears after their pretty eventful draft a few weeks ago. Legendary Chicago sports broadcaster George Offman joins me today to discuss what might be in store for the team as they now prepare for the upcoming season and what are they going to do now that they drafted Justin Fields, Tevin Jenkins. So George, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. Hope you're doing well, and hopefully maybe for once you're like me, where we're maybe a little bit excited about the Bears and not as critical, but of course we're always going to be critical, I'm sure.
Well, how can you not be excited when they've, you know, finally drafted a legitimate possible, and I always say possible, star franchise type of quarterback in Justin Fields. And, you know, there's a wonderful article in The Athletic today that, you know, chronicled how they went about getting him, how that all fell in place. And boy, were they lucky that night that the dominoes fell in the type of direction in which they could make a trade and get the guy who was considered by many as the second best quarterback in this pretty good field of quarterbacks. So for them, yes, I would think that Bears fans are excited. The question now is how much clamoring they're going to do to see him quicker than what the Bears may want to do.
So I have actually argued with people on this podcast before, and even the other one I do with my old college buddies that we got in the radio and whatnot in. When we started in this industry, it's nice to chat with them about a few things, but I kept, and one of them is a Bears fan, and I've always used to reiterate to him as we were doing shows prepping for the draft and trying to explain to him that, you know, the Bears, at least in my opinion, had enough capital to be able to move up in this draft and be aggressive like Ryan Pace was to go and grab a quarterback like Justin Fields. And he's exactly who I wanted. And I thought the move was appropriate. And it just, in my opinion, if I had to put money on something, I was going to bet that Ryan Pace was going to move up and be aggressive. And after seeing Justin Fields continue to fall later and later into the first round, I was in the middle of packing, doing a move that weekend. So I was trying to pack and move things and try to peek at my phone or peek at the TV. And when I saw that they traded up, I was still shocked, but in a way it doesn't surprise me. Were you surprised that the Bears traded up, or were you like some people that thought that they should have just stayed at 20?
Well, no, I don't think they would have traded up had it been in the top 10, because then your draft capital, listen, they gave up the first round pick this year and next year. That's a lot of draft capital for a team that needs, that has a lot of needs. They needed to upgrade their offensive line. They need another wide receiver. They need a cornerback or two. And of course they needed a quarterback. But yes, when you started to get down and you started to see where teams were picking and what they were picking, and that you had an opportunity, once it got past 10, I think everybody started to realize the Bears have a chance. The price tag may not be as brutal as it would be if it was top 10. No, I don't think they would have traded 3 first round picks, but in this case, 2 to get a guy who may finally solve a problem that you've had for generations, albeit I always go back to the trade that Jerry Angelo made to get Jay Cutler, which I think everybody thought was a great trade, because Cutler, albeit a sinister figure in his own right, especially in Denver, had the tools or most of the tools necessary to be a franchise quarterback. What he didn't have was perhaps the right leadership quality. And what he didn't have when he came here was the rest of the package, which was the right offensive line. Because remember, early on, he got killed. He got sacked often and he came up and he was fine. He didn't have wide receivers to throw to, and he had seven offensive coordinators. Now, if they do this right, and they still have a lot of work to do, Justin Fields could, in fact, be the answer. But again, let's understand that the Bears still have a lot of areas that they have to fix. One of them is wide receiver. The fact that they drafted in this draft a wide receiver, but it was in the later rounds. I mean, they have Allen Robinson, and they have a kid that they drafted last year. And they have Anthony Miller, but probably not for long. And my guess is they're probably going to try to sign Allen Robinson to a long-term deal, which will give them a little more flexibility monetarily to go out and get a free agent. I mean, they still have a lot of holes to plug. That's why if they didn't get this opportunity that fell to them, they probably would have drafted 20th or maybe moved up or back and started filling the needs that they have. And let's understand something too, Will, that this is a defense that is beginning to age. And so you may have Justin Fields, but now what are you going to do with the other side of the ball? Because that's where they thought they were going with Mitch Trubisky. They had a burgeoning defense. They went out and got Khalil Mack. The problem is they had the wrong quarterback. And so what happens with all of this is when you make that move and you make that mistake, it can set you back for a decade, and it still may set them back. They may have a wonderful offense once this kid is installed, but the question is, will their defense be good enough? That's what happens when you make the mistake they made several years ago in getting Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, it was a little bit frustrating to see, you know, I think it was about a month ago already when there was rumors of them maybe trying to trade or release Akeem Hicks. Obviously, they ended up releasing Kyle Fuller, which I thought that was disappointing. I know at some point there's going to be a cap casualty, but the fact that they couldn't trade him for something, you would think he would have had some kind of value being their best cornerback. And sometimes I think he does get a little bit overrated, but he is pretty solid. And I would have figured he would have been worth a draft pick or two that they could have used maybe in this year's draft. It turns out they cut him. We saw that Charles Leno Jr. was released shortly after the draft because of the drafting of Tevin Jenkins and Larry Bossom I believe he was a fifth or sixth round pick. So they did acquire the two linemen that, you know, and Tevin Jenkins is slotted to start probably week one, but
right.
So Charles Leno Jr. saves them about $9 million, which is great, but I can't help but wonder why wasn't this move made perhaps earlier in the offseason and, you know, hopefully in avoidance of having to cut someone that I think is more valuable to your team, your number one cornerback over a lineman that really a lot of people have been pulling to, you know, that they would have cut even before this past season due to some, you know, struggling with his play. So I'm curious on your thoughts of this situation with trying to figure out the cap. You know, people, there's been rumors of cutting Jimmy Graham, trying to trade off Nick Foles and that contract. They're still,
that's the other, you're mentioning the other issues that they have. They have Nick Foles under contract for two more years. If Andy Dalton, the way I look at it, I don't see Nick Foles ever seeing the field, period. There's no reason for that, but they're stuck with it. They have Robert Quinn, where they spent a whole lot of money on a guy who was a bust last year. I mean, he is going to really have to come back and prove that he's worth some of the money that they spent. It reminds me a little bit of Stan Bowman, who I think has shown the propensity to misspend. He obviously has financial flexibility now by virtue of some retirements, particularly Brent Seabrook. But in the case of the Bears, I believe they were last. They had less than $1 million of flexibility. That's nothing. So Leno had to go, and how they try to restructure some of these contracts, which they're probably going to have to do. But what are you going to get now? In free agency, you're going to be able to pick up things off a waiver wire, okay? That's never a good gamble. You might get lucky, but you're not going to see a trade now. And that's the only way that the Bears are going to be able to improve their product. Jimmy Graham might still be here. I mean, he had a good year, but there's a few things Jimmy Graham can't do, and one of them is run. And Cole Kmet has already proven now that I think he's just about ready to step into that role of being the starter, and Graham kind of being the guy out there when they need it. But I mean, Graham did wind up scoring a number of touchdowns last year, which was kind of surprising. So managing the cap has also been a huge issue for the Bears. And so it's the Justin Fields thing is great for them. They were very lucky that he dropped it to them or in a position where they could trade for him, and they made the move. But this is still a very flawed football team that could very easily finish under 500.
And the Bear and Ryan Pace was aggressive in the second round of this draft too, trading up to get Tevin Jenkins early on
yes.
the draft, which again, you lose more capital, and then all of a sudden the Bears don't have picks until, you know, the last two or three rounds of the draft. And the one thing I'll always give Ryan Pace credit for is he's actually made some solid hits in the later rounds. You know, Eddie Jackson was a late round pick. Jordan Howard, who I always believe got the short end of the stick too soon in Chicago, was a mid to late round pick. You know, he's hit on a couple of those picks later on, and hence that was really what a lot of his, you know, draft class of this year was after Jenkins and Fields. But again, it appears, you know, and we'll see once these guys get out on the field and perform, but it appears those two aggressive trades, those were, you know, those picks that they ended up making were hits. Do you think that would give Ryan Pace and the team a passing grade, or do you still think it's too risky because, like you mentioned, there's still a lot of other holes and issues to fill on this team?
Well, I mean, if you're grading the draft, he gets an A. You got Justin Fields. That's, I mean, he gets an A. You drafted a very potential franchise type of quarterback. And maybe this is the guy that Matt Nagy will prove what kind of offensive coach that he is. I believe he was very hamstrung with Mitch Trubisky, but I also saw areas where he could have employed him in certain ways that would be beneficial to both him and the Bears, and they didn't do that. So, and let's also remember, they didn't sign Cordell Patterson, who, of course, was more one-dimensional than the type of guy that they wanted him to be. But let me tell you something. Having a guy who can give you field position the way he did is very valuable. It's extremely valuable. And, it, you know, even for the price, which wasn't that expensive, they had to let him go. I mean, that's going to be felt because anytime he touched that football, he had the potential of breaking for a touchdown. He's not Devin Hester, but you know what? He's probably second to Hester. I think historically, he's got some historic numbers in the NFL. So let's remember, they lost a special teams guy that was very special to them.
Well, and see, I'm glad you bring that up because this kind of relates to something I wanted to ask you too. And this has been one of my biggest beefs with perhaps the coaching staff, because it, you know, it's one thing for Ryan Pace to draft and sign these guys for Nagy and the coaches to figure out a way to use and implement on this team, whether it's offense, defense, or even special teams for that matter. And, you know, you referred to that they did draft a wide receiver in the later rounds of this draft, which was specifically Daz Newsome out of North Carolina. I was actually impressed after watching his tape. Again, picking the good plays out and putting it in a reel, that's one thing. Can it transition into the NFL? We'll see. And yes, he's a sixth-round pick, but he appears to be a guy that if he's given a chance can maybe be another down-the-field threat, kind of more like an Allen Robinson type of receiver, not another Mooney or Miller slot type of guy that has speed, but who can really get up and go grab a ball that's heaved down the field by one of the three intriguing quarterback options the Bears have right now. But my beef specifically with Nagy and the coaching staff is they've drafted a couple guys over the years at the wide receiver position. Riley Ridley hasn't really had a legit shot to do much. He's usually been scratched, you know, on Sundays. You don't right. even see him be used on special teams at all. Javon Wims, who I know everybody hates right now, but to be fair, early on a couple of years ago when they first drafted him, made a couple of plays in a few preseason games that would have warranted him a chance. Typically rookies and these later round picks, guys that are third, fourth, and fifth on the depth chart, maybe they're not starting every day, but they're maybe the punt returner or the kick returner. And we know the Bears have gone through a cycle of different guys returning punts too. So my point is, with so many question marks at wide receiver this year, because you don't know where Wims and Miller are, if they're even going to be on the team by the time training camp's over, would you like to see Matt Nagy maybe give a few more shots to guys like Riley Ridley or newcomer Daz Newsome? And even if they're not out wide next to Allen Robinson every play, can they at least get a shot on special teams instead of signing random guys in the middle of the season to return?
I think that's a book that's yet to be written. A lot's going to depend too on who really is the starting quarterback. I at the moment, I don't see any other reason other than Andy Dalton being the guy. They did sign him to the deal. The question is, what are they going to do with Nick Foles? But at the same time, let's also understand that if Justin Fields has a knockout training camp, there's nothing to say, excuse me, Andy, I know we told you we're going to be the starting quarterback, but you're not. So you never know. I mean, Fields could dazzle them. I know that they would rather him sit all of the way Mahomes did in Kansas City. The difference there is Alex Smith was there, and they were a good team. They were a playoff team. This is not a playoff team. It shouldn't be a playoff team. It's more like a 7-10 team, and I have to get used to 17 games now.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, you never know that if he suddenly is your quarterback and he emerges, I mean, that's why it's impossible to start looking at schedule. I hate doing this anyhow. There's a win, there's a loss, there's a win, there's a loss, there's another loss. I'm not going to do that. There's no way in the world. I know the Bears open up against the Rams, and that's a road game. I know that Matthew Stafford is their quarterback, but it's going to be his first game in a brand new system with a new team. So you just never know. And those have generally been low scoring games. After that, it doesn't matter who the Bears are playing. A lot's going to be, Trubisky's not here now. So you know that you don't have that negative. Andy Dalton is a veteran. He's had good spurts. He's had bad spurts. But again, the question becomes, who's going to start? And if he is starting, how long will he start? And what will this team look like with Justin Fields? I think that that's the exciting part for Bears fans. And believe me, there is going to be an enormous amount of pressure on management to put him out on the field.
More episodes of Windy City Sports Talk can be found on Anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast as well. We now return to Windy City Sports Talk. Yeah, they're just in a really tough spot because if you look at Nagy and Pace, we all claim that they're on the hot seat, but it doesn't appear by, ownership, the McCaskey family, that anybody's in danger or in limbo of losing their job. But there's got to be some kind of fire being felt underneath their seats right now. And it really makes you wonder if they're going to ride the course and just pick this plan of, okay, Justin is going to sit this year, and no matter how ugly it gets with Dalton and or Foles, we're going to sit Justin. I don't necessarily see that. I truly think Dalton gets hurt or fails, I don't see how Fields is third on the depth chart. There's no way this guy is going to be, should be slotted under Nick Foles.
Well, I don't think Nick Foles will be here. You can't have those three quarterbacks on your roster. Now it is going to be interesting to see how they can pawn Nick Foles off to another team, but you also watch what happens in training camps. And if somebody is injured, and most of these teams that have their quarterbacks usually have a reasonable backup, but probably few have reasonable backups like Andy Dalton and Nick Foles. You never know. You know, the Bears could say to a team that just lost their starting quarterback, by the way, we got Andy Dalton here. You know, you could have Nick Foles or Andy Dalton. Who do you want? We'll give you one of them. So, no, I don't see Justin Fields as third on the depth chart, but I'm not going to get too ahead of myself because, you know, at the moment you have these three quarterbacks now that are on your roster.
But do you like the chances of Justin Fields actually stepping onto the field and leading this team in a game this year?
Yes, I do. He's going to play sometime this year. There's no telling when that's going to be. Once again, there's no telling whether or not he is the starting quarterback. I think that the chances there are a little slimmer, but I'm not going to say slim to none. Once again, if he has a tremendous training camp, you know, the coaching staff may say to themselves, he's ready now. He could have an impact now. He could make a big difference now. And I also want to see what they're going to do at wide receiver and whether or not they let Anthony Miller go and try to pick up another speed receiver to complement Allen Robinson. You have stronger arms now. Remember, they limited Mitch Trubisky from throwing deep balls. You know, the only time I ever saw him throw a lot of deep balls was the one game where he was terrific, and that was the game against Tampa Bay, a couple of years ago.
Before Tampa Bay was Tampa
Bay. And he threw long bombs, and I kept saying to myself, can this guy get throw deep? And he did, but they still rarely let him throw the ball deep. Well, we know Dalton can throw a deep ball, and we know that Justin Fields can throw a deep ball. So this is going to change philosophically, I think, a lot of what he does. But let's also remember, and I hope that this coach does, you need a running game. And while David Montgomery may not be a, quote, premier running back, he proved last year that he has game-breaking type of moves and speed, and he's a workhorse. And I think you're going to probably see him employed a little more than the way the Bears employed their running backs, you know, over the last couple of years. And yes. Tariq Cohen is coming back as well, which, you know, may have a – certainly if he is physically ready and certainly mentally ready after the unfortunate situation with his brother, that's an important addition for their offense.
Yes, and again, that's another guy that they are able to get back on. I believe he was still doing punt returns. I think he got hurt return. That's when he tore his ACL. So, I mean, that's another guy. He's got that speed and ability is great, and that was sorely missed. You know, he was a unique weapon to have. One last thing about the wide receiver position, because there's many questions, but I think the one thing that's for certain that we know that going into this season – Allen Robinson's going to be your number one guy. He's going to get all the looks, probably going to put up great stats again. But he did sign his franchise tag, but you could tell he still appears to not be happy, and rightfully so. I don't blame him. This guy does deserve a payday. But do you think this whole thing with Justin Fields bringing him into the mix maybe increases his desire to potentially wait out a deal and stick with the Bears, or do you think the damage is done with him?
No, I first of all, he's not going to wait out a deal. I think the Bears, if they're going to make a deal, they make the deal before this season begins. You know, it gives them flexibility, obviously financial flexibility. If you can, give him a new deal that gives him bonus money up front, but, you know, lessens the first year salary, and then it starts to grow. After that, no, then he's a goner no matter what. Yes, getting Justin Fields helps them, and they should realize, too, that getting Justin Fields probably will help Allen Robinson, and so you've got to find a way to try to keep him. How do you keep him? Money. You make the right offer to Allen Robinson, and you find a way to get through. You make the offer. If he turns it down, he turns it down. But if he keeps it, then they're going to be in much better shape. And it can't hurt when you're Allen Robinson and suddenly there is in the picture now this future guy who could be a difference maker for your team. So yeah, sure. It certainly can't hurt.
So George, do you think the 2021 Bears offense will be better than the 2021? And I know these are goofy questions to ask because it's such a toss up, but you know, that's what we like to do is debate and predict way too early.
It should be because Mitch Trubisky isn't here. Okay. That's number one. They don't have to try to game plan for him. Can Andy Dalton be good enough to hold the fort offensively? That's a big question. I mean, I think Andy Dalton is a better option than Nick Foles. Okay. But also understand the difference that Justin Fields makes as opposed to Andy Dalton as a pocket quarterback. Justin Fields runs and much more than Mitch Trubisky. Trubisky could run, but Fields knows how to work his way out of a pocket. And he can be that kind of guy. This is the big problem that the Bears had, is they didn't employ Trubisky the way they should have. They didn't use him mobily outside the pocket when he was a better type of quarterback. We'll never know, because the only way he plays in Buffalo is if their starting quarterback gets injured, because I don't see that starting quarterback taking a step backwards. So will their offense be better? I don't know. Ask me in October or November. I'll let you know.
I'll remember that. I'll have to get you on again and see if we're going to be happy about the Bears or back to where we were last year, where it's nothing but being mad and negative. But George, before we wrap up, I have to get your thoughts on the Aaron Rodgers situation in Green Bay, because that actually plays a role in the future of the Bears too, and potentially some of their success. Because if Green Bay goes downhill, if Aaron Rodgers leaves, I think that division's up for grabs, to be honest with you. I was wondering what you think all about this, with this whole Rodgers situation, and do you really think he's going to leave in one way or another?
He will be playing for the Green Bay Packers this year, because he has two choices: retire or be the Packers quarterback. They're not going to trade him. And I think he wants to stay, but he also wants to let them know, you know, who he thinks he is, that he's kind of like, I've got a bigger say so. But management's pretty much saying, you know, we hold these cards too. We're not going to trade you, because Jordan Love is not ready to be their quarterback. And so I think that it's kind of like to Rodgers, it's this way or the highway, because we're not going to trade you. You're going to stay here. But if you want to leave and retire, you're going to give us a lot of money back. And that's a real, you know, that's a question Rodgers has to ask himself, is does he want to quit the game? The answer is, of course, he doesn't want to quit the game. He's not going to walk off and do Jeopardy. He's not ready to retire. He's still pretty much at the top of his game. Does he have a good enough team in Green Bay? All I know is they went 13-3 last year. So they're still the best team in the division when he's there. I don't expect him to leave. I expect him to still be the starting quarterback, which means I probably expect the Packers to beat the Bears twice.
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
One thing I love about social media, though, George, is because anytime – situations erupt, whether they're really true or not, or before they finish themselves out, like when Schefter dropped the bomb that Aaron Rodgers wanted to be traded and all that, the drama exploded, you know, before the first night of the draft. Of course, then I love seeing people go on Twitter and Facebook and they start making posts. Oh, let me rank the Bears or the quarterbacks of the NFC North if Aaron Rodgers leaves. Dare I say that perhaps, whether it happens this year or in a year from now, 2 years from now, whenever, that the Bears could potentially have the best quarterback in the division. You know, Jared Goff is now there with the Lions. The Vikings, it's either going to be Kirk Cousins or maybe Kellen Mond. The ownership supposedly pushed the front office to go for a quarterback early in the draft for them. And the Packers, you know, of course, Aaron Rodgers reigns supreme if he's there. But if he's not and it's Jordan Love or some other guy they have to bring in, am I crazy or – Is it right for me to be?
No, it's
and maybe the Bears, maybe Fields ranks up there, or that's
it's premature. It's premature. It is because we haven't seen Justin Fields play in the NFL. And let's be honest, there have been first round busts in this league that are quarterbacks. The Bears know they just drafted one. They drafted two of them. You know, I'm trying to remember if Rick Meyer was a trade or a draft during Wannstedt's era. That was a bomb. I'm just looking, his name is escaping me now. I don't know why it is. The left-handed kid that was terrible. And that was a first round pick. So you know, Fields has the potential of being a franchise saving quarterback. And I say potential because we haven't seen him play one down in this league yet. So, I mean, there's a consensus that Trevor Lawrence is the goods. And there's a general consensus that Fields is the goods. But I'm not about to say that next year or the year after that, the Bears are going to have the number one quarterback. Not with the history of this franchise. No way will I answer that one that way.
I will make sure that this podcast reaches those people that get way too excited too quickly. And then, of course, I fall into that thinking of, oh, what could be? But I know wishful thinking doesn't always pan out for the best. So, but George, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. You know, I know we chat a little bit in between, you know, when we discuss work with your podcast, like that I'll let you promote here in just a second, but it's nice to sit down with you and actually have a lengthy discussion about it. You've done this for a living forever, and you've seen the glory days of the Bears that I unfortunately wasn't around to see in the 80s and whatnot. I truly hope one day I will be able to watch, and you too, that we could watch this team have a franchise quarterback for 10 plus years. You know, that would just
it would be nice. I mean, the last time they went to the Super Bowl, Rex Grossman was their quarterback. So it kind of tells you there's another one that they picked that, you know, didn't work out, and yet they managed to get to the Super Bowl with a guy like that. Yeah, I do hope that's the case. Tell me a story I don't know. And some guy named Will Hatzel is part of that. You're the guy, and I hope that people are listening, who helps mix this whole thing together before it comes out, sounds the way it does. We're going to have our second season, which is going to begin a week from yesterday, May 18th. Not going to say who our initial guest will be, but if you go to the website, you're going to get kind of an idea maybe who that guest will be. But we have 14 fabulous guests that are already kind of lined up for season two, which will run with a couple of best ups right through the beginning of September. And we already have interviews now that are set for our third season, which will begin during the football season. So there'll be a kind of a mix of some football people and some basketball people and baseball people and sideline reporters. But the best thing about Tell Me a Story I Don't Know is it's a real joy to talk to all these people. They have great stories, and a lot of people, and the feedback that I've gotten is they really like to hear the stories. Well, these people really tell the stories. They tell some fabulous stories, and a lot of them that you've never heard before, and they're entertaining. I will mention one of the people that we're going to be having on, Kevin Harlan, who is extraordinary. He is really the premier voice now of the NBA, one of the premier voices of the NBA, the NFL, and of course, he's been doing the Super Bowl now on Westwood One for 11 years. He's not only a great play-by-play guy, but he's the only guy I know who has done the call of the play-by-play of a cat on the field and a streaker. And he talks about that and his commercial endorsements, which are out of this world. And I've had the pleasure of knowing that man now since he was 20 years old. And he was the pre- and post-game host of the Kansas City Chiefs in like 1980. So he has really grown into a very prominent personality. So he's going to be one of the people that that we'll be having on Tell Me a Story I Don't Know. But I'm looking forward to it. And I know, Will, when we're done, you'll be working on the next episode.
Yes. Yep. I already got my marching orders. I'm ready to get those out there. And it's nice. You did a little preview, but we're not doing like the NFL schedule that's getting released today as we're recording.
No.
Leaking the whole thing like everybody's doing before the big announcement. But yes, and I'll just say lastly, to attest to what you just said, George, yes, the interviews are fantastic. And I would encourage anybody out there that's, you know, young like me that maybe wasn't around for some of these big events that these people covered, and just, you know, listen to these great stories, especially the things, like you said, the stories that are told that many people don't know because they just don't really get brought up, you know, outside of a setting like your podcast. So they're great interviews. I love working on them and being one of the first to hear them technically, you know, because of working on them for you. So yes, excited to see all the success you're getting with that, George, and excited to see what season two and even season three bring here later this year. But
let's remind people that you can, you know, we want them to subscribe. You can do that on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, Google, the TuneIn app, really wherever you get your podcast. But make sure you subscribe. Make sure you tell your friends. You can even tell your enemies, even if you have any enemies, tell them to go sign in. It's real easy. You don't have to pay a dime for it. And you will be entertained if it's you're in your car, you're home, you're on a train, you're on a plane. It's good time passed to listen to the history of some of these people. I would consider that, you know, Greeny, Mike Greenberg, is a contemporary now of a lot of people. I mean, Greeny's been around for over 30 years and first worked here in Chicago in the late 80s. He's a very prominent figure now. So I think a lot of people will enjoy to go back a little bit to the first season and listen to that. But it is a great deal of joy for me to talk to these people and to hear some of the stories that are told. I will tell you that just recently spoke to Tom Thayer. Tom, of course, is the longtime radio analyst on Bears Broadcast with Jeff Joniak, and he has some really interesting stories to tell. So when that comes out in late August, I think people will find out a little more about the guy who is behind the mic, does some TV work with Lou Kanellis and Bears Broadcast. They'll find out a little more about this guy than they ever knew.
Yes, and if anybody doesn't believe us, just go to Apple Podcasts and you'll see the many 5-star reviews and the great reviews left by people that have listened to George's podcast. So yes, be sure to check out, like, subscribe, do all that fun stuff for George's podcast. Of course, if you want to continue listening to me and everything I tried to do here at Windy City Sports Talk, same thing. You could find this podcast just about anywhere: Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor. Literally just Google Windy City Sports Talk and you'll find it on at least 9 or 10 different platforms. I've even discovered podcasting streaming sites that I didn't even know existed because Anchor does a great job. Yeah, Anchor does a great job of just throwing it out there to different places. So whatever podcasting platform you guys prefer, more than likely you're going to find George's great podcast and my podcast as well. So thanks again, George, for coming on, and thank you all for listening. Thanks for listening to Windy City Sports Talk. To find more great episodes, be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast on Anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Casts, Overcast, and Radio Public. Thanks again for listening, and be well.